Waouh, quel film, quelle dynamique. Et c'est vous, vous êtes les acteurs. Bonjour, mesdames, messieurs. Bienvenue, Jeff, notre président mondial, et Jeff, notre CFO. C'est un grand honneur que vous êtes ici. Ce come-up est un événement très important pour ISS France. Ça va nous permettre de parler entre nous, de passer les messages et de renforcer nos liens. Le thème de cette come-up, c'est la satisfaction du client et la motivation d'équipe. Dans le pays d'ISS, avec des bons résultats, le taux de satisfaction et le taux de motivation est très élevé. Donc, on va travailler 2 jours ensemble. Allez-y, je déclare notre come-up pour ouvert. Merci. Je donne la parole à Martin.
Merci Yann. Et bonjour à toutes et à tous. Bonjour. Je te remercie pour l'invitation, Yann. Je suis heureux d'être ici pour la conférence annuelle du COMOP. Je suis heureux de voir de nombreux des visages familiers dans la salle aujourd'hui. Par exemple, j'ai rencontré Yann pour la première fois il y a 13 ans maintenant. Certains d'entre vous, comme Bernard, comme Jean-Marie, je vous ai rencontré pour la première fois il y a 11 ans, quand j'ai habité et quand j'ai travaillé en France la première fois. Certains d'entre vous, je vous ai rencontré fin 2009, quand j'ai recommencé à travailler avec ISS France. Encore certains d'entre vous, je vous ai rencontré pour la première fois au COMOP l'année dernière. Vous portiez un costume disco et une perruque. Je ne citerai pas de nom, mais bien sûr, j'ai les photos si vous avez besoin. Certains d'entre vous ont été promus depuis le dernier COMOP l'année passée. Félicitations à vous toutes et à vous tous. Guy André, qui est ici, que vous connaissez tous, fait aussi partie de cette promotion. Il s'agit d'une importante promotion pour Guy André personnellement, j'en suis sûr. Mais il est encore plus important pour ISS France et pour moi en tant que votre patron. C'est une preuve très très claire de l'agenda opérationnel que nous avons mis en place chez ISS France. Plus de 25 ans de leadership opérationnel est maintenant à la tête de ISS Hygiène et Prévention, avec une nette amélioration des résultats opérationnels en 2012. Nous avons également élargi le COMOP en invitant plus de personnes qui ont un impact direct sur le terrain, dont plus de chefs d'agence. Je suis aussi heureux de voir des visages familiers de la région PACA, réunion annuelle qui s'est tenue à Halle, il y a quelques semaines. C'était une excellente soirée avec Christophe Contant, son équipe de plus de 130 personnes et bien sûr les lauréats de PACA. En même temps, Yann et son équipe travaillent dur pour rapprocher les fonctions de support des opérations. Ces améliorations ont simplifié la structure énormément. Par exemple, Pierre-Yves est maintenant directeur commercial ISS France et ISS Propriété. Un autre exemple est la fonction de Nathalie, directeur stratégie. Ce qui ne ressemble pas à un service très, très opérationnel, mais Nathalie dirige l'un des plus importants projets d'exploitation de notre groupe en étroite collaboration avec Alexis. Le projet et l'équipe Maurice sont profondément ancrés dans l'organisation de propriété. Alexis est l'un des nouveaux visages de ISS dans cette salle aujourd'hui. Encore une fois, un véritable acteur opérationnel. comme qui André, qui focalise sur la valeur créée sur le terrain, pas dans la chaise. Et si besoin est, Alexis, tout comme d'autres, est une mesure de prendre des décisions difficiles. Nous savons que nous avons déjà réussi dans un certain nombre de domaines de notre stratégie d'ISS France. Et nous avons été confirmés dans notre ferme conviction de la direction que nous voulons prendre avec ISS France et des résultats que nous voulons atteindre. Je sais que nous allons passer les deux prochains jours à discuter précisément de cela et je ne vais pas voler la vedette à Yann et son équipe. Il y a un visage aussi très important qui manque dans cette salle aujourd'hui, mais je vais le revenir sur cette question demain après-midi avec Yann. Avant de passer le relais à notre président du groupe, mon chef Jeff, je vais juste terminer en vous tous rappelant à tous pourquoi nous sommes ici et ce que nous sommes. Nous sommes le COMOP, le comité opérationnel des ISS France. Toutes les stratégies et les initiatives présentées ici, aujourd'hui et demain, doivent avoir un impact positif sur les opérations. Ce que signifient nos clients et nos employés sur le terrain. Je vous souhaite de passer deux journées formidables avec le COMOP. Bon courage. Et maintenant, j'invite Jeff, notre président du monde, à le podium.
Bonjour. And that's about it. Now I'm going to talk English, so for those of you who want to put on your translators, it's probably the time. It is a very great pleasure to be back here from last year. I just need to see whether we are up and going here. It's a great pleasure to be back from last year. 12 months is going on, or so about, and a lot of things has happened. It is extremely important in ISS that we have these sort of functions where we get together and get a little bit of guidance on where we're supposed to go with this very, very big ship that we're all trying to sail. Some years are easy, some years are less easy, and this year has probably been a year which is a little bit out of the norm. But overall, in general, as a group, we've done well. Today I'll talk about leading people, because this is really what it's all about. Leading growth is what ISS is all about. There are a lot of challenges in that, but the first challenge is to really understand what does it take and what are the characteristics of actually leading growth. With that, I will start by talking about growth companies. Typically, when we talk about growth companies, we will not basically think about ISS. We'll think about Apple, we'll think about Facebook, Google, and all these companies. And reality is, we will sometimes sit back and say, oh, we don't belong in that division. But I would claim that we do. We do basically everywhere in the world, because a lot of the characteristics that comes with growth in these companies, we also have in ours. If we look at it from an overall perspective, there's no doubt that ISS has grown quite significantly over the last 6-7 years. Back in 2005, ISS were taken private, as you probably know. So today we're owned by EQT and Goldman Sachs. But as you also saw in the beginning, and Henrik will talk more about it in a second, we also have two more investors that's come on board. It's Teachers, which is a pension fund out of Canada, and it's a company called Kirkby, which produces Lego as one of their products. Lego, the building blocks that your kids probably are playing with at home. Very successful company. But since we were taken over back in 2005, this company actually doubled in size. So we've gone from around the 40 billion Danish kroner to now 78, about 80 billion Danish kroner, so around 11 billion euros. That's quite a significant growth. You can argue on an annual basis, it's not that much, but it is actually is, because you've got to remember that this was while we had a worldwide crisis, which we're still in. From a number of employees, though, we've grown also 100%. But this is not just any growth. This is actually putting on 250,000 employees within that period. Just the 250,000 people that's been added on is a major company in the world. The 540,000 is the world's fourth largest company. So adding on 250,000 people is a staggering, staggering growth, which we'll come back to in a second. Overall, we also moved our countries. We have more countries in our portfolio. Our emerging market share has grown. It's a very important part of our strategy is to grow our emerging market platform because that's where we see the growth also in the future. So when Europe is not growing as much, then we can base all our growth on the emerging markets. We've been successful with that. Today, about 1/5 of our sales comes from the emerging markets. So Latin America, Asia, certain parts of the Mediterranean area. Very successful growth in the emerging markets. More importantly, we've also added on new services. So within this period of time, we also expanded the number of services that we've had or that we can actually provide to our customers. So we've gone from 1/3 of the business being not cleaning to now being half of what we do, which is not cleaning. This does not mean that we're not proud of being a cleaning company. We were, and we still are, the world's largest cleaning company. And we're proud of it, and it's part of our strategy. However, as we will see in a second, we need to expand our platform also, and also for the future. Now, on top of that, we've introduced a product called Integrated Facility Services Offering. It's not the most important product, but it's an extremely important part of the future for most of our clients, or for many of our large clients. We've taken that from being 3% of our turnover to today also be 1/5 of our organization. So what we set out to do 4 or 5 years ago, we are actually achieving, it's coming through. You also saw in the beginning of the presentations here that we won some of the big accounts in the world. Basically, we today have some of the largest accounts ever awarded in this industry, and we have more than one of them. HP, Barclays, Citibank, Sony Mobile, these are all very, very large clients. Probably the two of them are the largest clients that anyone can have in this industry overall. So very, very satisfied with where we've gone. Within this picture, though, there are some that's gone forward and some that's gone backwards. But in general, as a family, we're definitely proving that the strategy we set about to do back in 2005 worked. But let's pause there for a second and look at what growth actually means in a company like ISS. This is where we are very similar to extreme strong growth companies. We're today 540,000 employees. That's a lot. That's a lot. Now, what we do every year is that we win businesses. So when we win businesses, we will add on 10 to 15% of new sales. So that's the same as adding on 75,000 new colleagues on an annual basis. At the same time, unfortunately, we also lose some business. So we will lose 50,000 employees also during the next year. These are numbers which are absolutely insane when you come from outside this industry. At the same time, we have the normal staff turnover. On a group level, we vary from country to country between 25 to around 50%, but around 40% thereabouts staff turnover. So we're talking hundreds of thousands of people that are being sort of rolled over or turned over during a year. And all of that just to achieve 5% organic growth. So to go from 540,000 employees to 565,000 employees, we've grown 5%. Outside looking in, that's a decent growth. It's not a fantastic growth. But behind it, there is a massive growth characteristic here, which means we need to be able to deal with this. We need to be able to deal with this. It does not matter whether we grow 1% or 2%, the same picture actually happens. A lot of people coming in, a lot of people going out, and a lot of turnover at the same time. And we have to be able to manage it. This we manage on behalf of our clients because if we didn't do it, most of them would either have another supplier or they'll do it in-house. Both part of the product that we provide is managing this cycle. The only way you can do this. The only way to manage a company of this size with this many people going through it is to work with purpose. It's all about purpose. And when you go through success, you need to have the purpose with you. You need to know what exactly is it that we're here for. What's the point? Why are we here? Why do we work for ISS? Why do this company actually exist? What's the whole point of having ISS? Every day we deliver services to our customers. Every day we deliver a career to our employees. But if we don't know why, then we will lose our customers and we will lose our employees. And nobody will take pride and nobody will figure out why on earth did I spend a couple of years with ISS. Every one of us has to understand this. And this is why functions like the one we have today is extremely important, whether we have success or not success. Because we got to get on board the same purpose, all of us. So, when we go into that, what is the purpose then? What is this company all about? Well, if you look at it from an industry perspective, basically as a customer, the customer has a need. The customer and I here are looking for sustainable solutions. Why do I think it has to be sustainable solutions? Because it happens. What we do happens at our customer's site every single day. It's not something which is hidden away in a factory somewhere in mid-France, or you can take it and export it to India and then we deliver it there. No, it happens every day on our customer side. That might be a hospital, it might be a hotel, it might be an office building, it might be anything else. It might be here, basically. The thing is, if it's not sustainable, then what is it? Well, then it's non-sustainable, and that means that because people that is working on this side are not working for the purpose of the customer, i.e., a hospital. A hospital needs to actually heal patients. The people working in the hospital, day in and day out, should have exactly the same aim. However, our aim is to clean, for example, or it is to control the pest. But is that really an aim in itself? No, it's not. The only reason why we do that is because we need to help the client to heal patients. So the purpose here is, how can we actually provide these services in a way where it becomes sustainable, that the customer knows that we are actually helping on the hygienic conditions, we're helping on the nutrition conditions, we're helping on the pest control conditions, so that it is not sick people leaving the hospitals, but actually healthy people leaving the hospital. It's a very clear-cut example. It's not that easy when you go into offices, but then again, we need to make sure we understand why is the customer, what is it the customer wants when they're outsourcing their services. Now, they want three things: value-added offering, delivery capabilities, and then maybe integration of services. It's not the be-all and end-all, but it is an added quality. Value-added offering, what is that? The first thing that a client actually looks for is not the obvious one. It's not the price cutting, and we all think so, and we all know that, of course, they'll go for the price reductions. Probably. But do they then get a sustainable solution? Sometimes. But they definitely challenge the sustainable solution. If they only go for price, then I don't believe it's a sustainable solution. They'll probably have a solution full of illegal immigrants, people who are not trained, people who are not up to the job that they should be doing. Because if I run a hospital and I outsource the cleaning, and I have several hundred cleaners, for example, the first thing I need to worry about is, do they take care of my risk? As an example, public liability, wet floor, slippery floor, we put the yellow sign out and we take care of the risk. Maybe we shouldn't have wet floors at all. Maybe we should have dry floor because we have used cleaning excellence to actually clean the floor. In that case, nobody is slipping around because we don't use as much water. We don't use as much chemical. So I'm taking care of the risk on behalf of the customer. Yes, I am. I'm reducing the public liability risk for the hospital, because I can always leave the hospital and say it's no longer my contract. The hospital stays, and the management, well, it stays or it goes, but the people and the track record of the hospital stays with the hospital. So when they're outsourcing services, of course they have to think risk management first. all the risk, employee risk, public risk, the risk of patient getting sick from actually have the wrong suppliers. These are the things that go through their head in the first time. And if it doesn't, remind them, because it should be. And this is where we should be selling risk management as opposed to just cleaning. That's the first thing. Why is that so important? Because they want to protect their brand. Walmart in the US used to outsource, probably said the story last year, but they still did. They outsourced the cleaning side by side in all of the US to small local moms and pops. It was a very cheap solution. They didn't think about the risk. What did they do? They ended up having a lot of illegal immigrants working in the stores of Walmart in the US. A few years later, it was found out, and the SEC, which is the overall exchange committee, actually gave them some tasks to improve this situation. But the most important point was that from an outside in, it did not fit their values. So with their values being hit, the stock price went down, and what they chose to do in Walmart was to insource all the cleaning because it was too risky to outsource it. It hurt their brand, and it hurt their stock price. Today, it is still in-house. We've have seen this experience with Walmart in Chile. We've seen it in Mexico, where they've gone and outsourced it to a lot of small providers, and then they've insourced it again. And now, it's back out to us. So we can manage it because we're a global provider and because we can deliver it in a blue chip way, i.e. we can do the brand protection for the client. That's the first thing they're asking for. No matter what you think, no matter whether you think, well, it's only price, Jeff, no, it's not. It's never only price. But they want this as cheap as possible, no doubt about it. So they will, of course, look for a provider who's the best provider, not talking about risk management, and then get us as cheap as possible. But reality is, this is what they buy. So this is what we deliver, and that's what we should get paid for, number one. Number two, then, of course, single service. We have to be able to clean. We have to be able to control pests. We have to be able to do the services, whatever it is of services that we do. So that's the excellence part. Of course, that's what the customer wants. So risk, brand protection, and then they want all our services. And why should they come to us? Well, they should come to us because we're big. And because we're big, we're supposed to be able to do service excellence. And because we are this big with service excellence, we can do best practice sharing across France, across Europe, across the world. Sometimes we're extremely good at this. And sometimes we're not so good at this. And I think we can all figure out where we can improve on this area. But the key point is that we have so many opportunities to learn from each other from across a country, across a region, or across the world. This is the reason why we do customer clients or global clients. By introducing global clients, we're actually forcing through ways of working which is more standardized. That gives more inspiration across the world of saying, oh, you can also do it like this. It means that people come from across the world and will be visiting HP in France and look at, hey, we don't do it this way. Why don't we do it this way? Or learn from the French organization and bring that into the UK and say, this is what they do in France. That's why we have that account. Not only to grow, not only to improve profit, but also to share best practices across the world. So this is who we are. We manage the risk on behalf of the clients, we protect their brand, and we can come with service excellence like nobody else can because we are as global as we are. Then the clients are actually working, they want consistency. There's no doubt they don't want different services at different levels every day, depending on whether it's one employee or another employee or a third employee that delivers it. They want us to be the consistent deliverer. So can we actually do it? That's a question. But of course we can. It's about practicing, it's again about excellence, it's about making sure that what we do is done through systems and not just by people. And on top of that, flexible delivery model. So what does that mean? They want to outsource because they want to make their cost flexible, of course, a variable cost. If it's just a fixed cost, then they could just as well do it themselves. If they increase their volume, we go with them. If they decrease their volume, we have to go with them. That's the way it is. It's the nature of our product. It's not always easy to deal with, but that's what they want. And it's a fair request because that's why there is outsourcing in the first place. So value-added offering is a risk management, brand protection, and then, of course, all our delivery capabilities of doing consistent and flexible delivery of service excellence. That's what they're asking for. And then some of them, of course, are asking for a very good price, if not all of them. But they want the other points for that price. The accountant say, okay, you'll have it at half the price, but then we won't give you any brand protection, and we won't give you any flexibility, and we won't give you any consistency, and we won't be excellent. I guarantee you, if you say that, nobody will buy it. So if we give them the other points and we do it cheap, then we'll win. But then again, we've got to remember we have to exist as well. So the financial certainty and efficiencies is of course what they were looking for. And that, on top of that, the convenience of having one-stop shopping, which is the last point of integrating services, some customers are asking for that. There's not that much availability of it in the market, but we're one of the players who can do it. So this is what the customer actually wants. And I've illustrated it here on the left, on the right-hand side, by various services in various colors coming from various companies. The big deal is, can you actually deliver what the customer wants? If you're an FM company, for example, if you don't deliver the services yourself, is it then possible to deliver what the customer actually wants? I don't think so. I beg to differ. So the model of what we do, why we exist, and what makes us different, and the same as many of the larger competitors around, is, of course, the self-delivery model. There is no way that you can give brand protection to the customers if the employees that works on the site does not work for you. There is no way that we can deliver consistency if we don't know who's actually working on the site. There is no way that we can do this if it's not a self-delivery model. We can manage the risk on site, protect the brand, give the service excellence, and possibly integrate the services into the cheapest and most effective solution for the client by self-delivery. This is the reasoning behind the strategy of ISS. We believe in that we need to carry out the services ourselves. This is why we have 540,000 employees in our group. But we got to take this seriously. Because I can sit there and sell it. And I can say to the client, you come on board with us and you'll get brand protection and we'll take care of your risk. You come on board with us and I'll give you service excellence. You come on board with us, I'll give you consistency and flexibility. I'll give you one-stop shopping if that's what you want. But if we don't deliver it, then obviously we will lose the client very, very quickly. So our job, of course, is to make sure that this is also what we deliver. So working through a value proposition like this means, what does the customer want and how do we deliver it? So how do we do that then? Well, it is part of this massive transformation of ISS, which is called ISS Way. The first thing we needed to do is to say, okay, is cleaning not enough? Yes, it is. It's half of our business. We're the world's largest cleaning company, so that's a great service. However, we saw more and more places where we had to sell our services through FM providers, i.e. being squeezed from them in price and not having access directly to the end customers. We wanted to expand the service palette, so we did that. We've done that over the last few years, and you saw the numbers in the beginning. We now have 50% of our business outside cleaning, so we can attack customers from different perspectives. We've done that. It's a tick in the box. We're ready to do this. A little bit different from country to country, but we're clearly there. This is the reason why Barclays, HP, Sony Mobile, they could deal with us on a worldwide scale. The second part is that we need to become global. We used to be a local player where we can go out and outsource a bank branch at the time. Now we can do it on a regional scale, national scale, a European scale, and on a global scale. Just think about RBS, for example. RBS in the UK, we used to have only branches. Then we had half their branches. Now we have all their branches. We're talking thousands. Then Citigroup, we used to have their head office in London. Now we have it in Europe, all of Europe. All services, all of Europe. Barclays, all services, all over the world, bar Africa. This is the reason why we can do it. It's because of this transformation. But we needed to think differently as well. And that doesn't matter whether we're working in a single service division or in an IFS division. It does not matter. In order to deliver this, all of the value propositions I went through is as evident or clearly needed in landscaping as it is in health, in hygiene and prevention, as it is in cleaning, as it is in IFS. There's no difference. All of the clients are looking for risk management, brand protection, consistency, flexibility, etc. All of that is the same. No matter how we look at that, to understand what that risk is for the client, we need to think the customer and not just the product. So going from thinking product to thinking customers has been an extremely important part of this trip. And we're still a long way away from home on this one. Living and breathing customer segments is where we need to go, whether it's a single service, multi-service, or integrated services. It does not matter. We have to think of, are we now servicing a hospital or are we servicing an office? That's a transformation we're still in the middle of the process with. Then, we used to acquire a lot of companies, also here in France. And in my mind, that's very good while building the platform. We needed to do that. We need to build the platform in our services in the first transformation. We need to build our presence in emerging markets and being able to deliver on a worldwide scale in our second transformation. However, we have what we need now. So the point is, let's focus all the energy on using what we have and thereby not making acquisitions, but doing it via organic growth. This is the phase we're in right now. It does not mean that we will never buy again. We bought a small company in China this year, and we'll probably buy something in some of the emerging markets this year as well. But the key focus is on using what we have to make sure we get a common value system and a common leadership system behind everything we do in order to provide the value proposition. And the last point of transformation is probably the most important one. It's the glue that makes this work, is that we need to work more with processes. In the past, we're very people-oriented, very, very dependent on the individual person, on that individual client. And to some extent, we're still there in some parts of the world. We got to work more with processes. This is the one where we become less dependent on whether one specific employee is at that one specific site at a one specific given time. We need to improve our process framework. And that, we have developed the full life cycle of processes over the last few years, and it's implemented, and it's being implemented, of course, also with the global accounts across the world. This is the transformation of ISS. With that transformation, there are certain things that comes with it, which is pretty tedious, boring, but needed. And those are the processes I just talked about. We need to make sure that every country in the world and every division in the world and every branch in the world works off the same rhythm. Actually, we sing the same song. Fact is, we got to work with the same strategy, the same vision. So base here, underneath, on everything to be successful is that we have the same purpose, vision. What are we trying to achieve? What is it we want to deliver to our customers? It's exactly what I just went through. The value proposition to the chosen customer, the vision is to help the customer to become better at their core while taking care of their non-core activities, i.e. they become better at healing people in the hospital because we're there. And if we don't believe in that, we shouldn't be there. But that's the point. This is the vision. And it's not just for me from a global scale. It's not just for the UK or for Sweden or for France. It's for the Swedish divisions and for the Swedish branch networks to understand what is the vision of this company and how does that translate into the vision of my branch or my client. Second is, we can only do this if we base it on the same values and the same leadership principles. Same thing goes. It goes for all of us. We can't have that in Indonesia, it's different values. I mean, it's a different place. No. Actually, in Indonesia, we celebrate the values much more heavily than we do in Europe. So every quarter, they're on the stage for the Honesty Awards. Fantastic. But this is part of the journey of having 53,000 people working for us in Indonesia. This could not be done if they didn't have a shared purpose and if they didn't have the shared vision and the same leadership styles and values as the rest of the group. So that's important stuff. Based upon that, of course, we're risk managing, so we're taking care of the health and safety risk, we're taking care of the public liability risk for the clients. So we need to have policies here. And I'm not just talking accounting manuals, because that's easy. Everybody has that. But we need to make sure that when we deliver risk management, that we actually do it according to the group policies. And they're there. The group policies are there. When we deliver services, we do it according to the life cycle management, and it's there. So we need to continue to implement these systems. Then you start talking about the individual market. So the top part of the pyramid is, of course, then diverted towards which country am I in? What segments are available? What's attractive to work with? Should we be in cleaning? Should we be in catering? Should we be in FM? Where should we work? That's a little bit different from country to country, and you know the strategy of France and the services that we have here. This is important stuff because we need to make sure we have the same foundation throughout 540,000 employees in order to be able to lead close to 1 million people a year in the way I just described in the beginning. I don't think we need the million. I think 540,000 is tough enough to manage, but this is what we've got to do. And as you all know and have seen, this takes more than the purpose. But my point here was, okay, just hang on a sec. We have to do this, the tools in ISS, is called the value chain. So the value chain is the key tool to do this. We believe in the fact that we have a defined platform of the organization. The platform where we choose to work with, for example, hospitals. Then we can develop our service concepts to deliver the services to the hospital. Then we talk about how do we engage our employees to be able to deliver services to the service concept that will be delivered to the hospital. Then we can deliver it. It's service value. Then we measure the customer experience, and we move on to how we actually sell this. So this is the growth of the value chain that you'll probably see many times again today, and you should see on a day-to-day basis. This is the way we actually implement the alignment. But it's not enough, as I said, we need to have the purpose. And if we talk about purposes, it's individual purposes. This is the toughest part of our job, but it's also the most exciting part of our job. It should actually be the easiest part of our job. The fact that we spend time on a daily basis, or I don't care how many times a day, but at least on a daily basis, of just thinking about, talking about, what are we actually doing today? What's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of me standing here right now? I guarantee you I know what the purpose is. I need buy-in. Buy-in from the whole world. I have 53 countries. Henrik and I will move around, and Martin will move around between countries and say, what is it that we have of the common DNA to run this company? That's what we're doing. Now, of course, that's also what Jan is doing here today. It's exactly the same thing. Heading up France, we need to make sure that in France, we have a common purpose. And we need to go into the individual divisions, whether it's landscaping. You need to, of course, have that in line with the rest, there is a common purpose. And all of this actually comes all the way out to a single purpose person that goes around and does a job for us and pays our bills every single day, either cleaning or doing some landscaping work or doing some pest control work. If they don't know what the purpose of what they do is, then they're not engaged. And how can we expect them to deliver the services that we expect of them if they don't know why? So, a couple of popular examples. When we're cleaning the windows, are we removing dirt? Is that the purpose? Or what's the purpose to let the sun in? It's a little bit marketing-like, I understand that. But there is something in it. We'll say, what are you actually doing? Are you helping with something here which is beyond removing the dirt? You're mowing the lawn. Or is there a purpose of that? Maybe they can use the lawn for something. In this case, to lie down and relax and think a little bit about life, perhaps. But the point is, there is a purpose. Again, more real for our business. Are we pushing people around? Or are we actually helping them back on their feet? This is where we go in and become realistic with the individual person that's on the job every day. The better we're at this, the better risk management we can deliver, the better brand protection we can deliver, the better excellence we can deliver, the better consistency and flexibility, basically everything the client wants, because it's carried out by an individual. And sometimes there is a risk that we don't go all the way out there, but we talk about these things in big meetings like this. Then it will never happen. To me, this is real life. And you know what? The real life actually exists. In ISS, we come up with a gimmick, and some countries use it and some people don't. I introduce it every time I'm here, and that means the apple. It's just to come up with something which is a little bit different, because thinking about a value proposition is a strange word. Now, it's probably as strange to think about an apple, but nevertheless, it's different, right? So we introduce the apple and say, have you found your apple? Has Jan found his apple? Have I found my apple? Have you found your apple? That means, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? What is it that, where are we going? And if when you find somebody who's not really performing or the crisis is there, a lot of the times it's because we don't have that common feeling about the purpose. What was really the idea? Was it a gap closing plan? Oh, no, that's probably not the purpose. So let's get back to what is it that we really want to achieve. Then we can work our way back to what do we then need to do to get there. But we sometimes forget the purpose. Why were we there? What's the whole reason behind it? That combined with the fact that we align very hard on vision, leadership values, and so forth, those two things are the fundamental parts of ISS. Let me finish with a real life example. This is not just for fun. This is a porter working in the UK, and he won the prize actually last year, about a year ago now. And I use this example again and again and again. For those of you who've seen it before, excuse me for that second, but I don't actually care, because it's a fantastic example that just makes this real life. That means for every one of us, it could be the person up here. This is just a person who's a porter in the UK. He comes to job every day, and he says, the first thing that happens is that when people come in, I will be the first person they'll meet, almost. Most of them will be in distress. And we all know that. It's only if you have a baby that it's a happy occasion that you go to the hospital. But even if you have a baby, you are definitely distressed. At least I was, that's for sure. But the point is, you get in there and the person says, some people are so distressed that they want to talk. Some people, they don't want to talk. That's the skill of my job. I thought it was to get him from A to B as quick as possible. But no, this is a little bit like a taxi driver. You want to talk or you don't want to talk. You don't want it the other way around, that sometimes they talk too much and you don't really just want to sit there on your own. This is a very, very important statement. But at the end of the day, most important part is that with his efficiency, with his mindset, he actually believes that he makes a major difference in getting people back on their feet. That's purpose. This guy is the most efficient guy in a hospital that we can ever wish for. That goes for every one of us, with whatever job it is that we do. Not always can somebody upstairs tell you exactly what to do, and you don't want that either. But if we can find the purpose of what we're doing, of delivering a value proposition to customers that gives us this brand protection of the customers by managing their risk, make sure it's a flexible solution, it's consistent, it's an excellent one. If possible, then we'll integrate them in IFS. It is not the must in this world. The must in this world is that we live up to what the customer expects. That's the purpose. And by delivering it in this way, I'm quite certain, and we've proven it, of course, also as being a massive company as we are. This is what the customers want. Thank you very much. Now, this year, I brought a friend of mine also. And Henrik is the new CFO for the group of ISS. Came on board last year and wasn't here at the stage. So over to you, Henrik.
Thank you. Right. First of all, good morning. Bonjour, France. Bonjour. Fabulous. I was just nervous for there was translation happening here. Right, let's get the cracking. Whoa. Back, one. There we are. Why are we all here? And I think picking up on a couple of points from Jeff's part, I think we're all on a journey. And in reality, we are on a journey because we bought, we acquired, we became a family where we acquired 600 companies. And one of the things we're here, and I love these days. Why? Because you're here. You're here as a team. And you are the ones that when you look up here, have to leave during the day, during the evening. And sometimes in the evening, it's a lot easier to come to the conclusion, yes, we are one company, we are one brand, and we are becoming one culture. Which of those three do you think is the most difficult one to achieve? I think we've probably all seen that the brand thing is something we can do. We can put some color to it, we can change the logo, we can do that. Jeff shortly touched on becoming one company means that we create one joint frame in a business, in a branch, in a country, in a region, in the world. That's there, the frame is there. What is now really important is that we get the culture. And the culture, that's not about a language. Some of you will now smile and say, oh, Henrik, it's also about language. Yeah, that's okay. But that's more to it. There is a lot that how do we recognize each other, whether we are in France or in Singapore or in Mexico. And that all comes down to how we do things together. For me, that's really the next and the real current big challenge for ISS. And I'll be talking a lot about numbers, as you would expect. Why the hell would the CFO be here if he wasn't talking about numbers? But I'll also challenge you a little bit, because I was part of a country just across the channel, which was called the UK. And when I started these days in the UK, I also said, do you know what, guys? It all comes down to you, single one of you. And I know you're going to leave tomorrow afternoon, right? And this is where you have the most important choice of your life. Why? This is your choice of where you're going in the rest of your life. So when you leave here, you leave this fabulous venue. You come up the drive and you now have a choice. You either turn left or you turn right. Just hang with me just for a second. If you turn left, it's wrong. First of all, here you're going against the traffic. So don't, right? But in my world, if you turn left tomorrow afternoon, do you know what? You turn left and you said we had splendid 2 days. I didn't learn anything and I didn't want really to. I heard some of that Apple last year as well. I heard about it this year again, but it's probably not for me. If you turn left, guys, that's okay. But you know what? It's not. Because you're not bringing the people with you. If you turn right, you have made an active choice to become part of that journey. Right? And I'll be talking pictures in my presentation. And what do I mean by that? Can you imagine sitting on a boat with 8 people trying to row? I tell you what, you can get an enormous speed in that boat if you do things properly and in the same rhythm. Anyone tried being in a boat where there is a terrorist? Huh? Somebody who just wants to do things on his own rhythm? The boat almost stops, right? That's what I mean. So when I talk about turning right tomorrow, it's not just about turning and going up in the roundabout, going with the flow and the traffic, but it's for you to take the right decision as leaders of this company. You with me? It called we in France. Thank you. Right, let's go to the three musketeers, les trois musketeers. And in my little world, I'll be talking a little bit about racing and other stuff. So in my dashboard, there are three musketeers. You will see them up here. In the middle, right in the middle of the car, is the cash conversion. Cash conversion in ISS is our blood, because that's how we measure, are we actually getting paid for what we're delivering to our clients. In ISS, 2011, we did 93. Half year, we did 99, so we are doing very good. This is important, because this is what pays our salaries. This is also what pays our creditors. And this is also what pays our banks when they are lending us money to do what we are doing and have been doing in the past. Very important. Come back to that. Secondly, we have operating profit. Last year it was 5.7. This year we are running 1/10 below last year. And you know what? We are now in October. We are not doing bad, but we need the final push. There is exactly 2 months, 2.5, let's call it that. 2.5 months till the year is finishing and we can still reach 5.7. I know it's a push. It's not a given. I know that. There is a battle out there every day, but we can still get to the 5.7. Organic growth last year was a storming year of 6.2%. We had two things contributing extremely positive to that. We had two major contracts starting 1st of January 2011, which was Citibank, one of them, and HP North America. That gave us that. We didn't have any of those in 2012, so right now we are running a 2.2% organic growth. Is that a disaster? Not. We're doing well, but we want to do more. There is no doubt about that. And that is why when you saw in the introduction that we have already now nailed, secured some of the large global contracts so far this year, that will be beneficial for 2013. But I am also going to show you that it's not just about one or two yes or no's to a large global contract. It is much more about what we do when we come out of here tomorrow. Are we turning right or are we turning left? Come back to that. I think you can probably just see it up here. There is actually part of my dashboards and the instruments up here that are red. Right? Anyone little interested in cars? Just hands up. No one? Oh, there was a few, I could see it now, at least sort of a small admitting to it. There's some red up here. In a normal car, the red part of instrument in a dashboard sits up here. You're not allowed to speed up too much and you shouldn't give it too much throttle. In my dashboards, it's in the other end. So if you drop below 75 in cash conversion, if you drop somewhere below 5% in operating margin, or if you drop below 4% in organic growth, sort of alarming bells should come to you. Is that an alarming bell from Henrik calling you and saying, oh, you dropped below? No, come on guys, you're running a business. And as a leader, that should wake you up and saying, hey, there must be something I need to reassess here to get my car going. If you drop too low, trust me, your car will stall and you will have a very different conversation. If we look at cash conversion, I think the cash conversion here is always coming back to how do we look at that? And if you look at the cash conversion, you also will talk about debtor days. That is the major part of everything we do and contribute to the cash conversion in debtor days. And I'm just trying to show you here what are actually the main building blocks to talk when we talk about debtor days. And you see up here, we have unbilled debtor days of 3.7 days. That means it's something we haven't billed the client. It could be a project, or it could be somewhere where we have an agreement with the client. We will bill you in arrears, so we bill you probably the month after. And then we got, that's 3.6 days. You got the current debtor days, which is 31.9. And that means it's something where we have invoiced the customer the right amount, but the customer are looking down at the invoice and saying, I need to pay that in a month's time. And then we got the last thing, which of course for me, I want you to join in that little bit of a spirit now, the overdue debtor days, which is 10.8. You see, this is group averages. So the average debtor day for the group is 46 and a bit debtor day. Do you know what the scary part of this is? Have you seen it? Can you see it? The scary part of this is that 1/3 of all the outstanding debt in this group is from customers that haven't paid us on time. Do you know what that amount is equal to? 24% of what we have as outstanding debt, and our outstanding, that total amount, that comes to something which is approximately, just the overdue down there, is 1.2 billion, and it's euros. So right now, boys and girls, we sit on something where we could make our life much easier if we collected that debt. Are you with me? So actually, we don't have, right now, at this moment, we don't have a room of ISS leaders. Just for a second, I want you to think as bank managers collecting the debt. Huh? Because that's what you've done. We have outstanding 11 days. Oh, great, isn't it? Let's come back to that. That's when we talk about reducing our debt with 5 days. 5 days. Each day in the group is 250 million Danish. And if we reduce it by 5 days, we got another freedom of 1.3 billion Danish kroners. Can that be done? When I talk to the finance community, everyone says, nah, Henrik, it's really difficult. Of course it's difficult. But can I be blunt and direct? Of course I can, because that's what I can do from up here. Actually, we should just collect half of the things where we weren't paid on time. Then our debtor days will be 5 debtor days lower. That's not sophisticated. That's not rocket science. It's just collecting what people owe us. Huh? Let's get cracking. I'm really on the move now. Operating profit, 5.7. Huh? These are, of course, clearly the nice ones, so I just want to get this right. Over here to the left, now it's not left or right. Over here to the left, we got these countries. They're countries that are absolutely pushing the dashboard. There are countries that are doing 17%, there are countries that are doing 9.7%, there are countries that are doing 9.6%. Then we also have countries over here, to the right, 3.1, 2.8, 2.5%. And guess what, room? You're not in any of the boxes. But tomorrow, right? Yeah, you turn right, but decide to become the group of countries over here to the left, eh? Now it becomes really complicated. I'm playing, allow me a little bit of space. Allow me a little bit of space, eh? I know it's getting tight, but do you know what? Turn right and become a country to the left. Please. In terms of organic growth, it was 6.2, it is 2.2 right now. And just picking up on a couple of things what Jeff said, we did have new sales of 13.4% last year. We are having currently, because the year is not ended, we are having around 10% right now. We need more commercial, right? But more important, look over here. We had losses last year of 11%. And Jeff is absolutely right. Don't we like the people that come into the family? So we're willing to say goodbye to 11% of our customers and our colleagues, our employees. Can I challenge the room in one other way? Try to put 13.4 and 11% together. That almost comes to 25%. That means that we are de-scoping and demobilizing and mobilizing a fourth of this company every year. It can't go on. We need to be much firmer. Yeah, clearly we want to keep selling as much as that. No, don't go there. But the losses, what if we could halve the losses? What if we could halve the losses? Imagine the cost and the savings we could do by not constantly being occupied by de-scoping and demobilizing some of our contracts. I tell you what, there is a solution in here, so stop the losses. How are we doing compared to the competition? This is what we did last year. We are clearly slightly lower on organic growth right now. Margin, we're good. Cash conversion, we're good. A little bit lower on organic growth. Do you know this company? Heard about it? We? Ah, fantastic. It's going really great. They are having an operating profit that are below us, right? So now we better feel good. But it would be great if we could just really kick their ass, all right? So let's move the operating profit higher. Cash conversion, they did better than us. What is the solution to get back on the cash conversion? Collect the outstanding debt, right? Collect what is already due. And then organic growth, they're running just north of 5%, and they are still running north of 5%. Hey, I'll come back to takeaways. But the takeaway here is, if we want to beat those guys, we need to get the organic growth right. Not by sacrificing the two others, but by keeping the focus on those three. Well, it was great achievement last year. Can we do it in the last 2.5 months? The organic growth will be the tough one. Hey, but in middle of October, it's all about getting ready 1st of January, right? It's getting the push to end of the year and then having the customers, having the wins for next year. Is this enough to control your individual businesses with? Is three factors enough to run your business? No, oh, I love that. Keep that. No, right? You're turning right tomorrow, I know that. No, there needs to be a lot more guidance, right? Where do you steer? Where do you steer your ship? Where do you steer your business? And up here, we just inserted the employee engagement. The employee engagement for 2011 gave us an employee NPS score of our employees of 8.6. We last year surveyed 200,000. This year we'll be surveying more than 400,000. It isn't completely done yet because we're still coming around to businesses and countries. But so far NPS is now above 10. Come back to a little bit more on that. But the response rate is fabulous. We are running nearly half of all our employees responding to the surveys. And if I look back at the time I spent in operations, this is the one thing I would not live without. Because how would I know what direction we are facing in the boat and if it's ever going to get in if I don't know what my employees and my colleagues are saying about it? So this is important. The last thing which is I'll walk over here and look at is customer experience. Customer experience has been repeated again this year. Response rate has gone up, so we're now just above 50%. And our NPS score on clients has gone up from minus 10.4 to plus 0.8. And I'm not talking yet about France's number. I'm talking about group numbers here, but I think we all improved. Do you know what the scary part of this is? When I talk about customer experience, half of the customers we are trying to survey have not responded. Have not responded. So that means they are potentially not happy, but they are not dissatisfied enough to answer the survey either. Or have they decided to leave already? Many ways in life, there is the famous saying, either you hate me or you love me, but don't ignore me. There is 50% of our customer base that is right now ignoring us, not telling us what they feel about us. For me, scary. If I sit in a business, I want to know exactly what goes on with the customer. The last thing, do you know what the good thing is here? There is no mathematically tricks here. If you get your employee NPS and you get the customer NPS score right, do you know what? I don't need to know your numbers. I know they are good. And I want to maybe just allow me to have just 1 minute, because now we all got people to accept and realize we are turning right tomorrow. But I want to show you something. When we did this in the UK, we got to a result which has often been talked about as the smile. And do you know why? Out of approximately 42,000 people in the UK, we got somewhere around 40,000 employees saying, we are extremely pleased by working in ISS. We know our manager, we know our site, we know our client, we got good working tools, we're really pleased. We got another group of approximately 200. They were really happy. That 200 in the UK is similar to this room. They really knew the strategy. They knew what journey we were on. They've heard about this one company, one brand, one culture. They were a little bit unsure about that one culture thing. But I really thought that one brand and one company was brilliant. We made books, we made all the things that they could take back with them and share on Thursday morning when the conference was over, right? And do you know what those 2,000 in here said? We haven't heard about it. We haven't heard about it. So in the UK, and this is why I love talking about this, because of course you will say, oh, that's just because it's the UK. Huh? I can live with that. Live with that. But you know what? Those 200 guys, which we spent days, hours, videos, books, to take back, sit with your direct reports and get them included in the journey, most of them just said, we never heard about it. So actually, came up to the roundabout after great 2 days in the management conference and turned left and didn't want to share it with anyone. Do you know what? That is probably also your big challenge. I don't know, because I haven't been out talking to your direct reports. But you know what? Tomorrow afternoon, be honest enough with yourself, that if that is the case, then the first thing you do on Thursday is to say, actually, our journey starts as of now, Thursday morning. This is how we want to work. This is why that this one is not just a warning sign. This is something where you have a line in the sand and you decide where you want to see your employee NPS for your business next year. You decide where you want to see your customer NPS next year. But consider today as the first day in the rest of your working life. So do something about it. All right, I can feel I'm on a move. This one, what do you see up here? I'm showing you averages right now. I'm showing you average group. I'm showing you how are we doing on average. If you look at that picture, is there any of those 14 people, do you think that works with an average? Anyone knows what that is? That's a Formula One pit stop strategy. Approximately, you have 2.8 seconds to carry out what you want to achieve. Is there anyone in that picture that looks like, oh, bugger, he's going to come in 3 times anyway, so let's just screw it up the first time? Not. What am I talking about here? Am I talking Formula One? No. I'm talking about Thursday morning, right? So when you go home, you see yourself as part of that, and your direct reports and your employees are part of that pit stop. Because if you don't get it right and you think, oh, on average, it was a pretty good 2 days, and actually let them see how they get on, it ain't going to happen. Down there, it's constantly training, practicing. Oh, maybe if we do this, we could do it a little bit better. One of the things I take away from a Formula One team is they do a change every 9th minute to that car from March to end of November. Every 9th minute. When did you last do a change to improve? And could you do one every 9th minute to become absolutely excellent? Don't work with averages. It has to be perfect every time. So now I come to my wish list, and this is the beauty of my job now. I can put up wish lists. Right. Wish list is cut 5 days off the debtor days. Pascal sits down here now and thinks a little bit, oh, this sounds really scary. No, it's not. You have already done exceptionally well in France. You have already cut 5 days away. Do you know what the positive thing is? You can easily do 5 more days. Because there are clearly a nasty group of people that are saying, oh, well, last month we didn't really get a tough conversation with ISS France. They didn't remind us of why we were not paying on time. So you got, similar to the group, an outstanding group of people that didn't pay you on time. We could reach 125 in cash conversion. Second wish is, and you know what? I think that's actually an average wish. If I'm brutal, I think we should say no losses. Is that possibly in our industry? Probably not. Because there will be customers that go bankrupt, there will be other customers who just want to change. But if we could just reduce the losses from 11 to 7, or even better, to 5, I tell you what, Sodexo wouldn't have a clue what was going on here. But we will be way past them. And I put it up this way, because that means we don't need to change 25% of ISS every year. Organic growth will be 10. And I know I was put up margin of 6.5, but you know what? If we didn't need to change 25% of ISS every year, our margin would probably be 8. But I know when I say 8 and Jeff is in the room, I got a hell of a journey to try to talk him down to 6.5 again. So therefore, I keep it balanced. So 6.5, not a bad place to be. Now to the new race. And I think it's always important when we talk about races, we talk about what's coming and what's next. And right now for us, we're talking about the new beginning and what targets we put for the new beginning. The new beginning, something we clearly said after 2011, it should take us up to the end of 2014. And for the group, again, talking group averages, we're aiming for these three numbers. We're aiming at something which, probably not. There should be organic growth should be 6%. And you will see over here, organic growth is knocking on 6. Cash conversion is 93. We will be knocking towards the 95. And then operating profit, actually, we want that to be towards 6.2%. So we want to have increases. If you are sitting in a car, we're actually jointly agreeing that we will speed up. So we should do more. As part of the new beginning as well, we want, and Jeff alluded to it, we want this group to fulfill its full potential. We want to see each and every one on branches, on regions, and on countries to fulfill their full potential. That means excelling in these areas. So therefore, we don't believe those targets are excessive, and we believe that the ISS way would very much support that. And sometimes standing here, it is really, really, really nice, because we got 2 new shareholders, and I tell you what, they just love the transformation. They just love to see the journey. And they also believe that room by room, country by country, we have further upsides to do together. Teachers represent 300,000 either active or retired teachers in Canada. Actually, but what we are doing, we are supporting retirement pension plans for teachers in Canada. That's why they have invested. And I tell you what, they believe on a positive journey, positive return. Kirkby and Lego is clearly the for most male running quickly through either a shop at Christmas or an airport buying Lego toys. It was about time we got a little bit royalty back. But they are very, very long term. They are long term. They represent a brand that is long term. And they want to support our journey as well. What is in the end of that journey? Clearly, we want to work towards becoming a stock-listed company. And that is probably not to say in this room, that is something which we've said already, that it is the aim and the plan to happen as part of the new beginning, which means it's 2015. Or if it's better before and we are able to get my free wishes through before, then I'm pretty sure we might hear about it before. But you know what? 2011 learned us one thing. Never say never. Never do anything before we feel that we are comfortable where we should be. But a very important part of it, by having the two new investors, a lot of the things which we were looking for in terms of long-term investors, they are already there now. They have said as the first thing, if we can, we would like to invest more in ISS at the opportunity when it comes. Let's make those two investors, together with our two existing ones, very, very happy over that journey. Now I'm talking back to you. I know I've said you should turn right, but also here, it's fair saying that there are a couple of things when you sit in a car, when you do a race, because we know that the conditions are sometimes tough out there. But that's the time where you really need people knowing what the purpose is. So you manage, I will call it every surface, also the slippery ones. I think you are part of great teams, but you decide, you create them. So if you don't have a great team today, take responsibility. You are the captain of your team. I think over here, I don't know how it is, but far too often I come around and I meet somebody who says, we really don't know where we are. If you don't know where you are, if you don't know where your employee MPS is, or if you don't know your customer MPS or whatever, then it's about time you get into this rhythm of saying, actually, constantly check, change, and execute. What is one of the best inventions that have come in the recent years in cars? Anyone have a navigation system in the car? We? Yeah, of course. Huh? You still remember the days where you're sitting with these large maps and it was all going wrong? Martin, I probably believe that was our driver having a map last night, but no. That's great. Why is it great? Because you get a much clearer steer of turn right, turn left, make a U-turn. Ever heard that? No, probably not. You haven't, but in France at least, made a U-turn, make a U-turn. Eh? Very annoying. It should be the same we're doing in here. Check, watch, see. And then actually, the last thing is just for me to say, do you know what? I hate second places. And I think you hate second places. So the good leaders and managers, they tend to come and win more than they come second. Ouch. So that means when you finish here tomorrow afternoon, you decide. Don't try to overtake everyone on the road. That was not what I said. I'm just saying, turn right and take some of these things back Thursday morning and made it a lot better for your teams and your employees. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Henrik. Thank you very much, Jeff. I always get very inspired when you tell me the ISS story. And for me, the purpose is quite clear. And I'm quite convinced that for you all here, our purpose is clear. We are convinced. Thank you very much. I know you have to go back. Hendrik will stay a little bit more longer with us. Thank you very much. It's an honor. On prend pause maintenant. 30 minutes. Tout retour vers midi point 10. Merci.